Starbuck. I didn't need correcting.
Shut up!
Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
So it's not a competition who can shout the loudest.
Hello, I'm Sean, and you're listening to the Left Wingers podcast. We are a left-wing political podcast made by activists for activists.
This week, we're going to be talking about a whole host of things, Rishi Sunak's 100 days in government, and Liz Truss writing in The Telegraph that the fault of her premiership is left-wingers and maybe left-wingers. So I think first we've got to start by saying this is one of those times where rare things happen, where the three left-wingers are in one place doing one recording at one time. So great to see you both, even if we're only virtually, but hopefully at some point this summer we could actually meet up in person. That was something that we were talking about briefly. So I think kick it off with Rishi's 100 days in government, which he celebrated over the weekend. Or should we actually say celebrated? Did he actually celebrate it? Ashan, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well has Rishi done in his first 100 days?
I think he admitted to himself, didn't he, that he's not doing too great. I give him like a 3 out of 10. You can't really get much worse than what was happening with Liz Truss. So I suppose he has steadied the ship, but the ship is still, all the mates on said ship are still trying to kill each other in the Tory party. So we hope to see how that unfolds. But he said, I don't know in what newspaper, he goes, judge me after 3 years, not 100 days or something like that. So that'll be interesting to see how he carries on that. And actually this week he doubled down on those 5 pledges that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I think everyone agreed that they were pretty awful pledges because they were just vague and had no way of being measured, which I suppose might be his plan. So we see how that unfolds and we can judge him in 2 years maybe.
Sean, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's happened, 100 days of Rishi. He's lasted longer than Liz. So well done for that. Not that it was too tricky. Yeah, I'd probably give him a strong 2 out of 10 because, I mean, it's not difficult to, as Ashan said, do better than Liz was doing. So if we're comparing him to her, then, you know, sure, you've done all right. But comparing him to literally anything else, then, yeah, pretty dire. Everything that's going on at the moment. I mean, I don't need to go into the details. We know about it, you know, jump from thing to thing. Not the best 100 days of a prime minister we've ever seen, but, you know, who's surprised at that? If we've got this until like the end of 2024, then, you know, God help us, because I don't know what your two thoughts are, but it's not going too great, is it?
No, he's sort of stumbling by, and every time something happens, he just sort of hopes no one notices, and then a week later or 2 weeks later doubles back and goes, oh, actually I've always known this is bad and I should get rid of it. And I'm talking about Raab, and well, mainly Nadeem Zahawi, but also a bit of Dominic Raab here, as well as every other scandal that seems to hit the government. But speaking of prime ministers, and we mentioned our favorite Miss Truss earlier, she had an interesting article in the Telegraph this week, in fact yesterday, saying how she was, well, she didn't say it herself. The Telegraph analysed it as her saying she was brought down by the left-wing establishment and actually her ideas is what this country needs. Kathleen or Sean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, it's nice to see that we're being blamed as per usual. Yeah, I saw that article as well. I did give it a read. Interesting, to say the least. I don't really understand, if I'm honest with you, how that's anything to do with the left or anything to do with left-wing economy or anything like that. I think ultimately what brought Liz Truss down was her failure to lead efficiently and her poor leadership skills. I mean, that's the bottom line for me. I mean, that's why she didn't last very long. And, you know, it all crumbled to dust in the space of, what was it, 45, 50 days? Can't quite remember. Yeah, no, that's really quite funny. But isn't that just like one of those, you know, little like article titles that they'll come out with every now and then, like right wing, like sensationalist media, when they want to have a bit of a, you know, bit of the left? Like, okay, fine, if you want to, but in my eyes, they've got nothing to do with it. No, Liz Truss
her failures were her own, but nothing to do with the left whatsoever.
Charles completely right to say that it's not the fault of the left-wingers or anyone that is left-wing that Liz Truss tanked the economy in her short but titanically presidency or premiership. I think you have to... Honestly, I kind of couldn't really bring myself to read the 4,000-word essay because I just thought, I just couldn't believe that she'd written it. But then there's a little part of me that thinks she honestly believes that she's right. She honestly believes that there's no way that the only reason why she failed was because she moved too quickly and the entire establishment is out to get her, which I just think is such poor behaviour. And it's, I think it's a problem in that it's a bad thing to have and that it's a problem that no one around her has pulled her aside and said, no, this is ridiculous. And this is, you know, we obviously, I think we talked about this on the podcast at the time, but during Liz's premiership, she stopped taking polling and focus groups because she didn't want to know what people had to think. And I think it's when you get to that level of delusion where you think it's perfectly acceptable to not hear. I mean, obviously, yes, of course, there are good and downsides to polling, as there are any kind of scientific method or any kind of scientific test. The fact that she didn't even want to hear about the polling in number 10, I think it's completely ridiculous and just unbelievable. And I'm not, you know, honestly, I'm not surprised because how could somebody get up in the morning and go about their day, which she has. Like, I've seen Liz Truss around Westminster. I saw her last week walking through Parliament and she just walks along like nothing's ever happened. Like, it couldn't be any, God knows it's not her fault. It's somebody's fault, but it's not hers.
I wish I had, I'm not saying I'm insecure of having issues, but I wish I had her level of overt self-confidence. Like, that must be, imagine the world you're floating around in if you think you're so great that everyone else is wrong. Literally the entire country hated you and the entire world that we've built in the last 400 years, the entire British state had to kick you out to think that you're still in the right. It's pretty crazy. But I would say, though, I think I did mention it. Her words might have a little bit of truth in them, in the fact that anyone who does want to do something radical in government, a bit like what a Labour government would do, does have to go through a lot of swings and roundabouts. But as you guys said, the true test of making change in a politician is not having the ideas, because everyone has ideas. It's being about to convince the establishment, the banks, people, that you can carry out that change and it will be successful. And ultimately she did fail to do that, and that is on her, and squarely her, and maybe her advisors, but and also on those Conservative members, because even now I reckon if you polled Tory members on their ideas for what they want as policies in either this year, next year, or any sort of upcoming political event, they would still overtly back overwhelmingly back her ideas of policy: small state, very low taxes, deregulation, maybe not on the pro-immigration side of Liz Truss's policies, but especially the bonfire of EU regulations, that would be another thing they'd all support. So the Tory party's in a bad place. They've got a lot of crazy ideas swinging about and a lot of sort of extremism, is the other way to put it, that probably needs to be extinguished, and Liz Truss is not helping herself here.
Yeah, I pick up on the point that you said there, Sian. I don't believe that it's self-confidence. And I always, you know, I always say to young kids starting out in politics, just have the self-confidence and not fake it till you make it, but just have a little bit of that inside you, because you need it to be able to be in politics. You just need a little bit of, not too much, but just a little bit of self-confidence. What Liz Truss has is delusion. And the only reason why she is delusional is because there's no way any rational human being could look at themselves in the mirror after being, I don't know, the worst prime minister of all time in the history of the British state. I think she's ranked as one of the worst, one of the shortest and the worst. So it's not, and you didn't die. Like, it's not like, well, she did it for 30 days and then unfortunately she was shot. It's not that. She 100% was responsible for her, for what happened with the economy. So yes, I would say, of course, it is. It's not self-confidence, it's delusion. The business of politics is hard enough, let alone, God, if we've got more people being delusional like her. I even think there are some Conservatives that are just truly shocked at what's happened. I even remember speaking to Conservative MPs when the original budget came out.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because she spent that little time as head of government I don't really think anything. If I'm honest with you, I don't think she's qualified to speak on a lot of these things because, you know, are we saying shortest prime minister ever? I mean, no. The word delusion is absolutely right in this case. You've absolutely got to have some sort of confidence to go into politics. I don't think you can exist in the political sphere without confidence. But yeah, what she's got is definitely delusion. I mean, it's like when you everyone else knows that someone's really bad at something and they think they're, you know, the bee's knees. And you know, you're looking at them and thinking like, oh my goodness, like what's got into them, what's in their heads? That's how I feel about Liz Truss, if I'm honest with you. Makes me laugh a little bit when I think about like her walking around like Westminster, like in Parliament and stuff. Like just as though nothing's happened after, you know, her kind of tenure as Prime Minister. It's just funny to think about. But no, absolutely not. I think she'll pretty much blame anyone as long as it means the blame isn't going on her, because ultimately, well, I think that she is somewhere deep down there a bit embarrassed. So it's easier to just put the blame on someone else, you know, attach the blame to something else, get the media to talk about it for a bit. And yeah, you know, try and carry on as before, but no, absolutely not. She's, there's no coming back from that, is there?
Last week was the 3-year anniversary of us leaving the European Union officially. So not the vote, but the actual official exit date, which was, I think, the 30th of January, the 31st.
Yeah.
31st of January, which was, as Boris Johnson described it, his oven-ready deal going through Parliament and all being signed and all that rubbish. What are our thoughts on the last 3 years?
Yeah, I just want to jump in here and just say I actually think this has all gone really well. I, for one, am delighted that we left the European Union. I've actually never been happier. I actually feel a huge amount of freedom that I never had before. And of course, I'm lying, and that's all complete rubbish.
Okay, I'm going to go against the orthodoxy here, as I tend to. I think, actually, that it's gone badly, but I don't think it's purely because it is Brexit. I think it's Brexit and the fact the Tories has handled it really badly. When most people vote for Brexit, I don't think they voted for whatever the hell we've got now. They voted as a reaction against a load of factors. But the Tories don't know what they're doing with it. Half of them want Singapore on Thames. Half of them want protectionist, sort of almost social democracy, if you will. Half of them want to get rid of regulations. Half of them want to leave the EHCR, all this rubbish. I just think the Tories handled it so bad that no matter what happened in the last 3 years, even it's just a bad situation made horrifically worse, basically.
Yeah, it's a weird one because I'm just thinking back to the vote now, 2016. Yeah, I think it's a weird one because my family did. Oh, this is so shaming to say, but did like all largely vote leave. I blame kind of fabrications and the lies and stuff that the Leave campaign kind of construed up and stuff. I think it was, you know, it was very easy for everyday people to sort of be convinced that, you know, oh, this is going to be great for the NHS, X, Y, Z, things like that. So, you know, it's a weird one when I think back to it. Obviously knowing that, like, kind of like at home, you know, this is what the family voted for. But you know, it's really strange because obviously 3 years now since we've left, bearing in mind it took all that time for us to actually go. I mean, what was it like after the vote, coming up to 4 years, something like that? It was insane. But yeah, no, I do agree with Eshan in that it's it was bad. Of course it was bad, but I don't think it was simply just bad because it was Brexit. Like, it was gonna be bad, but then obviously the way that the Tories handled it as well, it was just absolutely catastrophic. I mean, you know, the changes in leadership and, you know, just the kind of umming and ahhing about, you know, this, that and the other, being able to get deals through, like changing things, things not being what they were, you know, all the kind of smoke and mirrors of, you know, all this deal, that deal, hard Brexit, soft Brexit, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, I mean, look where we are now. I mean, the Leave campaign like perpetuated this idea of like, oh, like this new life, this better United Kingdom and all this. And we're sat here now, 3 years since leaving. Do we feel any better? I don't. And I'm pretty sure like the two of you would agree with me when you say no. I mean, obviously loads of other things have happened, but based on Brexit alone, do we think we're living better lives?
I was interested in what you said, you felt ashamed. And I think that, not to attack you, Sian, obviously you're a good friend and we're good colleagues on this show. but I don't think that's probably a good way of looking at it, because that actually shows that, well, that mindset, which is sadly quite, especially in a place like Bristol, and if you go to university towns and London particularly, that sort of mindset is probably a reason why Remain lost, and also a reason why there's further polarisation in the country. And also, actually, it reflects on the fact that Brexit was not—it's not like a rational thing. I don't know. People try and rationalise it in numbers and NHS, but it's a reaction to such a huge number of events: austerity, being left behind by globalisation, all these things. And I think Labour have not, I'm not going to blame Labour for this because that's harsh, I think, but we also played our role, especially in 2015, 2019, setting up a scenario where we allowed the Tories to get away with what they got away with. I think we could have dealt with it a lot better, especially in the early stages of the debate, in terms of not being so hardline one way or another, and actually having a party discipline where the leadership and the membership and everyone work together in a direction, and leave aside the actual terms of the vote that Labour would say they lost anyway. So it's a real difficult one. And I actually think the fact that it's been 3 years is not actually that important. Labour, I would argue, if I was a Labour Prime Minister, I'd hope to have dealt with it better and actually use the opportunities that were there, no matter how you view the actual vote itself.
Yeah, I also wanted to pick up on what Sian said. I actually don't think Leavers should feel ashamed, because I think that they were in good conscience. Like, I believe everybody goes to the polling station to do what's best for them, their family and their country. And I believe anyone who voted Leave did that. Like, I don't know anyone who went to the polls and said, oh yeah, let's completely sabotage everything. Like, I really want to have a worse life now, so I'm going to put my ex in the Leave box. So I think it's a, you know, I understand why people feel disillusioned or ashamed or ripped off with the Leave vote, but I have a lot of empathy with that, because I fundamentally believe that British people are good people and that they don't go to the polls to vote to make their lives or the lives of anyone else living in this country worse. I just don't believe that. But I would say, I think there's been a huge failure of the media, more so I think than the opposition, to clarify what Brexit meant at the time, what was realistically deliverable, and then within the kind of 100 days post the Brexit result in 2016, to clarify what reasonably could happen. And actually think about it, this is a, you know, a huge stain on Corbyn's career was how he dealt with Brexit as leader of the opposition. It pretty much got Theresa May out of government. It got David Cameron, Theresa May, to a kind of lesser extent, Boris Johnson, I think, the stuff around the Northern Ireland Protocol, Arlene Foster. Like, these are four or five major politicians that have lost their careers because of this. And even still to this day, you know, Liz and Rishi, their premierships were dominated by Brexit. This narrative is not going anywhere. That this, obviously it's happened now, but we're in this is a new game now. We're in a recession. The UK is in a recession, it is, or it will be very soon. And I think how we deal with that within the context of Brexit is absolutely fascinating. And it will be really hard just to see what exactly the results of Brexit are, because it's the COVID and the pandemic and lockdown. So it's too many things to be able to siphon it off. But I do believe economists when they say that we'd be doing better if we were still in the EU. And that, for me, is so sad. And I will always, I'm lucky enough to have an Irish passport, but I know that there are people that aren't. And I feel very sad for those young people who will miss out on opportunities because they are not able to go and travel around, to EU. And it's a little bit sadder than all the economics and who lost what when. And I have empathy with that more than anything else.
I'd just like to add, I think we've disagreed on this before, but because obviously, I don't know if any of you know, or I don't know if you mentioned it, probably has, Catherine, you were quite involved in the People's Vote campaign. And I do think that sort of hysteria on both sides sort of ramped up a lot of the issues now. I felt there doesn't seem to be a very sensible debate in, I sort of Keir and Labour are trying to make it a bit more sensible, but on the Tory side especially, with the, they're going to try and reverse Brexit, X, Y, Z. And then on the other side, you've got people going, oh, Labour's not opposing Brexit, what are they doing? It sort of seems ridiculous. And actually, to most people who voted Leave or Remain, not involved in politics, as you said, we're in a recession, Brexit happened. It would be interesting and important to see what happens now. And I think my final, as you said, staying on Corbyn's career, who was a Eurosceptic, and I myself, admittedly, am a soft Eurosceptic, although I travelled in Europe, so I'm a bit of a hypocrite. I do think that even before Brexit, the UK was broken, as in the foundations of prosperity have been gutted by the Lib Dems and the Tories. And to say that, I know you didn't necessarily say it, but saying that Brexit would be better in the EU now, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think a lot of broken infrastructure, the lack of investment in public services, doesn't matter where we are, and that will only change through maybe a revolution like Brexit, not an actual revolution, but a change in the way that we do things. I think revolution was not the right term, but I feel like a lot of people use Brexit as sort of revolutionary thing, as in people who are Brexiteers, whatever their view, go, it's an overthrow of the liberal establishment. And that didn't actually happen. It just got replaced by more people who think in a weirder way.
As with all issues, we all stand in different places. But ultimately, I think the one thing that we can agree on, Brexit, the Tories, and with us as the left wingers, the way that the Conservatives handled the Brexit negotiations, the vote and everything that has, you know, come since 2016, everything that's come since that official leaving date at the beginning of 2020, we can all three of us can agree that it was handled dreadfully, and that, you know, for better for worse, whether we're in the EU or not, that all of that could have been handled a lot better, and we could have been in a very, very different position now had that have been handled in a more what I'm going to refer to as mature way. But yeah, who knows, you know, it's just that's something that I guess we'll just not get to see. But yeah, no, but I don't really have anything else to say on it, to be honest with you. I think that's kind of that summed up.
Unfortunately, that's all we've got enough time for on the Left Wingers, but I did think that we covered quite a lot. We went from everything from the 100 days of Rishi to the 3 years of Brexit, with a little trip down memory lane as well. Please listen to this podcast, share it with your best friends, tell your mum, tell your dad, tell the dog. We want everyone to be listening, and we're looking to grow our Left Wingers community. Retweet, share, like, subscribe, do all those good things. We're available on all major platforms. And of course, it's that type of week, because obviously it's our fault that the economy crashed. We've got one thing to say, and one thing to say only. Ashan, take it away.
Keep whinging about the left-wing establishment, and we'll see you next week.